Right now, we're going to check in with Dr. Mark Herko of Sharon Hospital. We get roughly monthly looks at what's going on at the hospital, what's been going on, what's coming up, and other topics that might jump out at us at any given point. Good morning, Dr. Herko. How are you?
Good morning, Marshall. Very well, very well.
You know,
enjoy the holiday.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's one of those strange, this summer is strange. We've always been looking for a four-day Labor Day holiday where we had four great days of weather. Of course, we had it this year, and of course, all of our activities have been restricted one way or another. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess.
That's right, that's right.
I've got some questions to ask you, but I do have to ask you, as a doctor, as the person leading Sharon Hospital, concerned with health care through New Vance Health and more, there are more and more people out there that are totally disregarding the effectiveness of wearing a face mask. And I finally have given up because when you're a child, you're taught that if you sneeze, to either sneeze into a handkerchief, sneeze into the cuff where your elbow comes on a shirt, but cover your sneeze because that protects other people from, and there's nothing surgical about it, it protects other people from germs coming out of you. So I want you to explain once again, you know, the masks that you wear are more for the protection of other people than yourself, and it's no different than seeing somebody sneeze.
Well, I can't say it any better than you just than you have. It really sometimes is confounding why people are reticent to it, other than, you know, again, we discussed this earlier about impingement of freedoms, but freedom is responsibility. And I mean, when you're sick and you have a cold or you have the flu, usually you don't come into work because you don't want to hurt other people or expose them. And that's exactly what this is all about. I mean, this bug is ubiquitous throughout the environment and everywhere throughout the country and throughout the world. Anybody that, you know, we've opened up and had people take their guard down just for a little bit, you could just see how quickly there's a cluster of patients, and it all comes back to social distancing, wearing the mask, and washing your hands. And by keeping your distance, you actually prevent spread. That's all this is. It's about, and that's where, you know, it's frustrating because this isn't going away, and you could see that through, you know, with all the kids coming back to college. You know, they have their big blowout party, and what happens? Look at that at SUNY Oneonta. I mean, 650 people were exposed and are positive now. You know, almost 13% of the population in just 1 week from parties.
You know, I'm glad to hear you to reinforce this. You know, I'm not going to argue somebody. I don't know enough about the COVID-19, the new viruses and stuff, to talk about the virus itself. But I do know enough about common sense and common sense medicine go along. And I just wanted you to just reiterate that. And I'm glad you did this morning. So just think of it as when you sneeze, you just don't sneeze out in general public. You cover your nose when you sneeze. It's the exact same thing, except you have to wear some sort of cloth covering. All right. Speaking about COVID-19, though, does the hospital still have people that it's treating at Sharon Hospital with COVID-19?
In fact, we do. I think we have two patients today. And so we've had probably over the summer, we've averaged between one and two patients a week that are positive and coming through the ED. I think last week alone, I think we had four people, we ended up being four or five people ended up being positive. So they all were discharged, but it's just interesting that, you know, it's still here and not going away. And that's why with flu season coming around the bend, we're really, really spending a lot of time preparing for another surge, getting the information out for the flu vaccines, and then just preparing for any surge and any other contingency. Because this time, if it explodes again, we want to make sure that we have our services isolated, separated, so we can still continue doing some elective work within the facility itself instead of completely shutting everything down.
And you can explain to people, when somebody comes to the hospital and they're diagnosed with COVID-19, I think a lot of people have the feeling that, oh, okay, so they're diagnosed with COVID-19 and the hospital keeps them till they're not COVID-19. That's not the way it works, though, right?
Correct, yes. I mean, we only admit people if they have a reason for admission. That's usually going to be low oxygenation, extremely high fever, or other illness that precludes them from being treated at home, because this right now the treatments are conservative fluids, anti-fever medications, and just this pretty much keeping yourself isolated and letting it run its course. Only if you have other complications do we recommend admitting. And that's what we've had. We've had some pneumonias recently.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because once again, when we post the numbers, the COVID-19 numbers, people write me and say, well, how come if two people got COVID-19 that they're not showing up in the hospital? I try to explain to them, the only people that stay in the hospital are the people that really physically need the medication and the equipment. If someone's diagnosed with COVID-19, they're given that chance to go home and have that 14-day period where they self-isolate. And if it gets worse, that's different. But I try to explain that as well, and a lot of people just don't understand that.
Sure. Not everybody gets the remdesivir or the convalescent serum and stuff. And he's been the patient, the one recently, this last week, who's still in the hospital, has received both of those already, because this person met all the need for these treatments that are out there and responding well. And if this was in March or in April, I mean, this person probably would have been intubated. But now, we put them prone and have high flow oxygen going, and we kind of are figuring out how to treat people with this, and they're getting better responses than we were earlier on.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Hurko, of course, from the Sharon Hospital. Go back in time just a little bit now when you announced your $1 million match challenge. It's a grant for the Sharon Hospital. Let's talk a little bit about that. For people that aren't aware of it, explain once again what it is, and then just give us a little update about what's going on.
Sure. In April, we had an anonymous benefactor who offered a match to the community, supporting up to $1 million. To work with the hospital on COVID-19 relief and also emergency preparedness efforts. And it's the largest gift of its kind ever made to Sharon Hospital. And because of that gift alone, 200 other new gifts from individuals, foundations, and businesses in the community also donated. And as of yesterday, we were at, I think, $565,000 raised. So with matching monies, we're at $1.13 million, and this is going to be used to help upgrade us, particularly with our telecommunications infrastructure. Remember the one time my phone kept cutting out when we were on the air and I couldn't get through? We're working on expediting telehealth. We want to prevent dropped phone calls, which has been really a pain with the physicians and staff, because our broadband in the area has been so limiting. So we're working on that. We're increasing our essential medical equipment and supplies, including personal protective equipment, PPE, education for the staff for emergency preparedness. And we're also working and registering all of our COVID-19 patients for multidisciplinary research, which Nuvans Health is undertaking. So just by one very generous person, you could just see how this has snowballed, and it's really going well. So thank you. Thanks for allowing me this forum.
Well, and what people can do, if you want, you can donate. And to make a donation online, the web address is nuvancehealth.org/support Sharon Hospital. nuvancehealth.org/support Sharon Hospital. But if you go to our on-demand page after we finish this interview, that link is also going to be up on our on-demand page, so you can just go to the interview and click on the link to donate to Sharon Hospital. And what's great about this donation is that $1 million, that donation and the total money you raise goes to benefit Sharon Hospital, and that's on top of now being part of a healthcare system that covers Eastern New York, Southeastern New York, Northwest Connecticut, and down into, once again, the southern sections of Connecticut. That's combined with the extra energy and resources from New Vance Health in general that puts Sharon Hospital in a really nice place.
Sure, and that's what, again, being part of a bigger system has allowed us a lot of benefit and a lot of leeway in regard to how we offer services to the community. And since we are somewhat isolated in the region, in the past it's difficult for a single hospital, especially in a rural area, to really stand alone on its own. And now with these additional resources, it really has allowed us to really look strategically at what we want Sharon Hospital to be in 2025 rather than 1950. So it's really important with the money that people have donated that we use this in a way that supports the community, supports the demographics of the community, and we can work within the larger whole of the system. So it benefits all around.
And I just want to add a personal experience over the past month that I had. My doctor called me one day after I had some blood tests and stuff, and I was complaining about feeling weak at certain times. And my doctor got a blood test back and called me at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and said, "I want you to get over to Sharon Hospital right away to the emergency room. I don't want to scare you, but some of the symptoms that you have brought up and the result of one of your blood tests concern me, and I need some tests to be run." So I got in my car, and I drove to Sharon Hospital, and they were waiting for me. I came in. They asked me if I needed a wheelchair. I said no. I was checked in within about 5 to 7 minutes, and I had, I think, 5 tests done on me, 5 different tests, and everything turned out to be A-okay. There was no cause for alarm, but I was out of the hospital by 6:30 that evening. That's from the moment I got the call to the time I left the hospital was 2.5 hours, and that includes the drive to the hospital. And I was really, really impressed with how quickly and how the emergency room and everybody responded to that. And I'll just add that the blood test that led up to all that excitement, once again, when I came into the hospital, it was very easy to check in, get my temperature set, and the process of going in and getting the blood test, the sanitary procedures and everything, I'm really impressed, totally impressed by personal experience the way the hospital's handling this.
Well, thanks. And, you know, the staff and everybody has really pitched in to make this a safe, healthy environment for us to offer care to the community. And I tell you, one of the first times we spoke, the ER is our front door, and we really want to show, and COVID has given us the ability to kind of speed things up regarding some of the modernization and processes that were necessary, so we don't have people languishing and sitting around. Yes, and, when we're overwhelmed with a lot of people at the same time, sometimes you wait. But our goal now is to get people in and get them out because it's lingering in the environment, which can cause, a higher risk for exposure and also hurt your health in other areas. Because remember, the old adage, the hospital's full of sick people, and no matter how clean you keep it, there's always bacteria and stuff floating around. So it's important that we really hone our processes to the point where you get everything done as quickly and expeditiously and safely as you need to. So thank you for that.
All right, Mark, once again, it's always great to speak to you on a monthly basis, and as when needed, just keep up the great work, and we'll speak to you again next month, unless something weird happens in the meantime.
Thank you, for sure. I'll always be available for you. So
all right, Mark,
you.
Take care.
Take care.
Dr. Mark Herko of the Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health, SharonHospital.org on the web. And once again, that donation, if you want to make a donation, NewVanceHealth.org/support Sharon Hospital. And once again, if you just go to the interview that's going to be on our on-demand page, the link will be available right there for you.